If you attempted to publish the documents as a matter of factual reporting in a newspaper or on the evening TV news, they would be rejected out of hand as the work of a cook. The very nature of these documents make them unbelievable, and therefore discreditable. Conversely, the release of this information is potentially catastrophic for certain political, religious and economic vested interests. These documents contain information which is quite relevant to your interest and investigations into alien encounters and paranormal experience. To use your analogy in the Oz Factors book, I can honestly say that the few factual reports that have been made by others about alien influences are only a gentle breeze in the eye of an apocalyptic hurricane swirling around Earth. There really are wizards and wicked witches and flying monkeys in this universe. This information, which has been suspected and/or speculated upon by so many for so long, has been constantly denied by mainstream media, academia, and the military-industrial complex. 12. Footnote, that President Eisenhower warned us about in his farewell address. As you know, in July, 1947, the Roswell Army Airfield, RAF, 13, footnote, issued a press release stating that personnel from the field's 509th Bomb Group had recovered a crashed flying disc from a ranch near Roswell, New Mexico, sparking intense media interest. 14, footnote, later the same day, the commanding general of the 8th Air Force, 15, footnote, stated that Major Jesse Marcel, who was involved with the original recovery of the debris, had recovered only the tattered remnants of the weather. 23. Balloon. The true facts of the incident have been suppressed by the United States government since then. You may not know that I was enlisted in the U.S. Women's Army Air Force WOC 16, footnote, Medical Corps, which was a part of the U.S. Army back then. I was assigned to the 509th Bomb Group as a flight nurse, 17, footnote, at the time of the incident. When the news that there had been a crash was received at the base, I was asked to accompany Mr. Cavett, the counterintelligence officer, 18, footnote, to the crash site as the driver of his vehicle, and to render any needed emergency medical assistance to any survivors, if necessary. 19, footnote, therefore, I briefly witnessed the wreckage of an alien spacecraft, as well as the remains of the several alien personnel aboard the craft who were already dead. When we arrived, I learned that one of the personnel on board the craft had survived the crash, and was conscious, and apparently uninjured. The conscious alien was similar in appearance, but not the same as the others. 20, footnote, none of the other personnel present could communicate with the survivor, as the being did not communicate verbally or by any recognizable signs. However, while I examined the patient for injuries, I immediately detected and understood that the alien being was attempting to communicate with me by mental images, or telepathic thought, 21, footnote, which projected directly from the mind of the being. I immediately reported this phenomenon to Mr. Cavett. As no other person present could perceive these thoughts, and the alien seemed able and willing to communicate with me, it was decided, after a brief consultation with a senior officer, that I would accompany the surviving alien back to the base. This was partly due to the fact that I was a nurse, and could attend to the physical needs of the alien, as well as serve as a non-threatening communicator and companion. After all, I was the only woman at the site and the only one who was not armed. I was thereafter assigned permanently to serve as a companion of the alien at all times. 22, footnote. 24. My duty was to communicate with and interview the alien and to make a complete report of all that I discovered to command authorities. Subsequently, I was supplied with specific lists of questions provided to me by military and non-military personnel, which I was to interpret for the alien, and record the responses to the questions provided. I also accompanied the alien at all times during medical testing and the many other examinations to which the alien was subjected by staff from numerous government agencies. I was given a promotion in rank to senior master sergeant to improve my security rating, and to increase my pay grade from $54 a month to $138 a month, for this very unusual assignment. I performed these duties from July 7th through August, 1947, at which time the alien died or departed the body, as you will read about in my notes. Although I was never left entirely alone with the alien, as there were always military personnel, intelligence agency people and a variety of other officials present from time to time, I did have uninterrupted access to and communication with the alien being for nearly 6 weeks. Hereinafter is an overview and summary of my personal recollections of conversations with the alien craft pilot, whom I came to know by the identity of L. I feel that it is my duty at this time, in the best interest of the citizens of Earth, to reveal what I have learned from my interaction with L during those 6 weeks, on the anniversary of her death or departure 60 years ago. Although I served as a nurse in the Army Air Force, I am not a pilot or technician. Further, I did not have any direct contact with the spacecraft or other materials recovered from the crash site at that time, or thereafter. To that degree, it must be taken into consideration that my understanding of the communications I had with L are based on my own subjective ability to interpret the meaning of the thoughts and mental images I was able to perceive. 25. Our communication did not consist of spoken language, in the conventional sense. Indeed, the body of the alien had no mouth through which to speak. Our communication was by telepathy. At first, I could not understand L very clearly. I could perceive images, emotions and impressions, but it was difficult for me to express these verbally. Once L learned the English language, she was able to focus her thoughts more precisely using symbols and meanings of words I could understand. Learning the English language was done as a favor to me. It was more for my own benefit than hers. By the end of our interview sessions, and increasingly since then, I have become more comfortable with telepathic communication. I have become more adept at understanding L's thoughts as though they are my own. Somehow, her thoughts become my thoughts. Her emotions are my emotions. However, this is limited by her willingness and intention to share her own personal universe with me. She is able to be selective about what communication I am allowed to receive from her. Likewise, her experience, training, education, relationships and purposes are uniquely her own. The domain is a race or civilization of which L, the alien I interviewed, is an officer, pilot and engineer serving in the Domain Expeditionary Force. The symbol represents the origin and unlimited boundary of the known universe, united and integrated into a vast civilization under the control of the domain. L is currently stationed at a base in the asteroid belt which she refers to as a space station in the solar system of Earth. First and foremost, L is herself. Secondarily, she voluntarily serves as an officer, pilot and engineer in the Domain Expeditionary Force. In that capacity she has duties and responsibilities, but she is at leave to come and go as she pleases also. Please accept this material and make it known to as many people as possible. I repeat that it is not my intention to endanger your life with the possession of this material, nor do I really expect you to believe any of it either. However, I do sense that you can appreciate the value that such knowledge may have to. 26. Those who are willing and able to face the reality of it. Mankind needs to know the answers to questions which are contained in these documents. Who are we? Where did we come from? What is our purpose on Earth? Is mankind alone in the universe? If there is intelligent life elsewhere, why have they not contacted us? It is vital that people understand the devastating consequences to our spiritual and physical survival if we fail to take effective action to undo the long-standing and pervasive effects of alien intervention on Earth. Perhaps the information in these documents will serve as a stepping stone to a better future for mankind. I hope that you can be more clever, creative and courageous in the distribution of this information than I have been. May the gods bless you and keep you. Mrs. Matilda O'Donnell McElroy, Senior Master Sergeant, Women's Army Air Force Medical Corps, retired, 100 Droytown Heights, Navan, Meath Company, Meath, Ireland. 27. Chapter 1. My first interview with the alien. Matilda O'Donnell McElroy. Personal note: By the time the alien had been returned to the base, I had already spent several hours with her. As I mentioned, Mr. Cavett told me to stay with the alien, since I was the only person among us who could understand her communication. I could not understand my ability to communicate with the being. I had never before that time experienced telepathic communication with anyone. The nonverbal communication I experienced was like the understanding you might have when a child or a dog is trying to get you to understand something, but much, much more direct and powerful. Even though there were no words spoken, or signs made, the intention of the thoughts were unmistakable to me. I realized later that, although I received the thought, I did not necessarily interpret its meaning exactly. I think that the alien being was not willing to discuss technical matters, due to the nature of her position as an officer and pilot with a duty to maintain the security and confidentiality required by her own unit or organization. Any soldier who is captured by the enemy in the line of duty has a responsibility to withhold vital information, even in the face of interrogation or torture, of course. But, in spite of that, I have always felt that the alien being was not really trying to hide anything from me. I just never got that feeling. Her communication always seemed honest and sincere to me. But, I suppose you can never know for sure. I definitely feel that I shared a unique bond with the alien. It was a kind of trust or empathy that you have with a patient, or a child. I think this is because the alien could understand that I was really interested in her and had no harmful intention, nor would I allow any harm to come to her, if I could prevent it. This was true too. I refer to the alien as her. Actually, the being was not sexual in any way, either physiologically or psychologically. She did have a rather strong, feminine presence and demeanor. However, in terms of physiology, the being was asexual and had no internal or external reproductive organs. Her body was more like the body of a doll or robot. There were no internal organs, as the body was not constructed of biological cells. It did have a kind of circuit system or electrical nervous system that ran throughout the body, but I could not understand how it worked. 28 in stature and appearance, the body was quite short and petite. About 40 inches tall. The head was disproportionately large, relative to arms, legs and torso, which were thin. There were three fingers on each of two hands and feet which were somewhat prehensile. 23, footnote, the head had no operational nose or mouth or ears. I understood that a space officer does not need these as space has no atmosphere to conduct sound. Therefore, sound-related sensory organs are not built into the body. Nor does the body need to consume food, hence, the absence of a mouth. The eyes were quite large. I was never able to determine the exact degree of visual acuity of which the eyes were capable, but I observed that her sense of sight must have been extremely acute. I think the lenses of the eyes, which were very dark and opaque, may also have been able to detect waves or particles beyond the visual spectrum of light. 24, footnote, I suspect that this may have included the full range of the electromagnetic spectrum. 25, footnote, or more, but I do not know this for sure. When the being looked at me, her gaze seemed to penetrate right through me, as though she had X-ray vision. 26, footnote, I found this a little embarrassing, at first, until I realized that she had no sexual intentions. In fact, I don't think she ever even had the thought that I was male or female. It became very obvious after a short time with the being that her body did not require oxygen, food or water or any other external source of nutrition or energy. As I learned later, this being supplied her own energy, which animated and operated the body. It seemed a little bit eerie at first, but I got used to the idea. It's really a very, very simple body. There is not much to it, compared to our own bodies. Ael explained to me that it was not mechanical, like a robot, nor was it biological. It is animated directly by her as a spiritual being. Technically, from a medical standpoint, I would say that Ael's body could not even be called alive. Her doll body is not a biological life form. 27, footnote, with cells, and so forth. It had a smooth skin, or covering which was gray in color. The body was highly tolerant to changes in temperature, atmospheric conditions, and pressure. The limbs were quite frail, without musculature. In space there is no gravity, 28, footnote, so very little muscle strength is needed. The body was used almost entirely on spacecraft or in low, or no gravity environments. Since Earth has a heavy gravity, the body was not able to walk around very well as the legs were not really suited to that purpose. The feet and hands were quite flexible and agile, however. Overnight, before my first interview with the alien, the area had been transformed into a buzzing hive of activity. There were a dozen men working on setting up lights and camera equipment. A motion picture camera and microphone and a tape recorder were also set up in the interview room. I don't understand why a microphone was needed, since there was no verbal communication possible with there. 29 alien, there was also a stenographer 29, footnote, and several people busily typing on typewriters. I was informed that an expert foreign language interpreter and a code-breaking team had been flown to the base during the night to assist with my efforts to communicate with the alien. There were also several medical personnel, specialists in various fields, to examine the alien. And, a professor of psychology was there to help formulate questions and interpret the answers. As I was just a nurse, I was not considered to be a qualified interpreter, even though I was the only one there who could understand anything the alien was thinking. There were many subsequent conversations between us. Each interview resulted in an exponential increase in understanding between us, as I will discuss later on in my notes. This is the first transcript with the answers to a list of questions provided to me by the intelligence officer at the base, which I debriefed to the stenographer immediately following the interview. Official transcript of interview. Top secret official transcript of the U.S. Army Air Force Roswell Army Airfield, 509th Bomb Group. Subject, alien interview, 9-7. 1947 question, are you injured? Answer, no question. What medical assistance do you require? Answer, none question. Do you need food or water or other sustenance? Answer, no. 30 question, do you have any special environmental needs, such as air temperature, atmospheric chemical content, air pressure, or waste elimination? Answer, no. I am not a biological being. Question, does your body or spacecraft carry any germs or contamination that may be harmful to humans or other Earth life forms? Answer, no germs in space. Question, does your government know you are here? Answer, not at this time. Question, are others of your kind going to come looking for you? Answer, yes. Question, what is the weapons capability of your people? Answer, very destructive. I did not understand the exact nature of the kind of arms or weapons that they might have, but I did not feel that there was any malevolent intention in her reply, just a statement of fact. Question, why did your spacecraft crash? Answer, IT was struck by an electrical discharge from the atmosphere which caused US to lose control. 31 question, why was your spacecraft in this area? Answer, investigation of burning clouds, radiation, explosions. 30, footnote, question, how does your spacecraft fly? Answer, IT is controlled through mind. Responds to thought commands. Mind or thought command are the only English language words I can think of to describe the thought. Their bodies, and I think, the spacecraft, are connected directly to them through some kind of electrical nervous system that they control with their own thoughts. Question, how do your people communicate with each other? Answer, through mind/thought. The words mind and thought combined together are the closest English language words I can think of to describe the idea at this time. However, it was very obvious to me that they communicate directly from the mind, just as she is communicating with me. Question, do you have a written language or symbols for communication? Answer, yes. Question, what planet are you from? Answer, the home, birthplace world of the domain. 32 Since I am not an astronomer, I have no way of thinking in terms of stars, galaxies, constellations and directions in space. The impression I received was of a planet in the center of a huge cluster of galaxies that is to her like home, or birthplace. The word domain is the closest word I can think of to describe her concept, images and thoughts about where she is from. It could as easily be called the territory or the realm. However, I am sure that it was not just a planet or a solar system or a cluster of stars, but an enormous number of galaxies. Question: will your government send representatives to meet with our leaders? Answer: no question. What are your intentions concerning Earth? Answer: preserve, protect property of the domain. Question: what have you learned about Earth governments and military installations? Answer: poor, small. Destroy planet. Question: why haven't your people made your existence known to the people of Earth? Answer: watch, observe. No contact. I got the impression that contact with people on Earth was not permitted, but I could not think of a word or idea that communicated the impression I got exactly. They are just observing us. 33 Question: have your people visited Earth previously? Answer: periodic, repeating observations. Question: how long have you known about Earth? Answer: long before humans. I am not sure if the word prehistoric would be more accurate, but it was definitely a very long period of time before human beings evolved. Question: what do you know about the history of civilization on Earth? Answer: small interest, attention. Small time. The answer to this question seemed very vague to me. However, I perceived that her interest in Earth history is not very strong, or that she did not pay much attention to it. Or, maybe. I don't know. I didn't really get an answer to the question. Question: can you describe your home world to us? Answer: place of civilization, culture, history. Large planet. Wealth, resources always. Order. Power. Knowledge, wisdom. 2 stars. 3 moons. Question: what is the state of development of your civilization? Answer: ancient. Trillions of years. Always. Above all others. Plan. Schedule. Progress. Win. High goals, ideas. 34 I use the number trillions 31, footnote, because I am sure that the meaning was a number larger than many billions. The idea of the length of time she communicated is beyond me. It's really closer to the idea of infinity in terms of Earth years. Question: do you believe in God? Answer: we think. It is. Make it continue. Always. I am sure that the alien being does not understand the concept of God or worship as we do. I assume that the people in her civilization were all atheists. My impression was that they think very highly of themselves and are very prideful indeed. Question: what type of society do you have? Answer: order. Power. Future always. Control. Grow. These are the closest words I could use to describe the idea she had about her own society or civilization. Her emotion when communicating her response to this question became very intense, very bright and emphatic. Her thought was filled with an emotion that gave me a feeling of jubilation or joy. But it made me very nervous also. Question: are there other intelligent life forms besides yourself in the universe? Answer: everywhere. We are greatest, highest of all. Due to her small stature, I am sure that she did not mean tallest or biggest. Again, her prideful nature showed through in the feeling I received from her. Matilda O'Donnell McElroy, personal note. 35 This was the conclusion of the first interview. When the answers to the first list of questions were typed and given to the people who were waiting for them, they were very excited that I was able to get the alien to say anything. However, after they finished reading my answers, they were disappointed that I could not understand more clearly. Now they had a lot of new questions because of the answers I received to the first list of questions. An officer told me to await further instructions. I waited for several hours in the adjoining office. I was not allowed to continue my interview with the alien. However, I was always well treated and allowed to eat and sleep and use the restroom facilities whenever I wanted. Eventually, a new list of questions was written for me to ask the alien. I gathered that quite a few other agents, government and military officials had arrived at the base by this time. They told me that several other people would be in the room with me during the next interview so they could prompt me to ask for more details during the interview. However, when I attempted to conduct the interview with these people in the room, I received no thoughts, emotions or any other perceptible communication from the alien. Nothing. The alien just sat in a chair without moving. We all left the interview room. The intelligence agent became very agitated about this. He accused me of lying or making up the answers to the first questions. I insisted that my answers were honest, and as accurate as I could make them. Later that day, it was decided that several other people would attempt to ask questions of the alien. However, in spite of several attempts by different experts, no one else was ever able to get any communication at all from the alien. Over the next several days, a psychic research scientist from back east was flown to the base to interview the alien. Her name was Gertrude something or other. I don't recall the last name. 32, footnote, on another occasion an Indian clairvoyant named Krishnamurti 33, footnote, came to the base to try to communicate with the alien. Neither one was successful at getting the alien to communicate anything. I was personally not able to communicate telepathically with either of these people either, although I did think that Mr. Krishnamurti was a very kind and intelligent gentleman. Finally, it was decided that I should be left with the alien by myself to see if I could get any answers. 36 Chapter 2 My second interview. In the next interview I was told to ask the alien only one question. Official transcript of interview. Top secret official transcript of the U.S. Army Air Force Roswell Army Airfield, 509th Bomb Group. Subject, Alien Interview, 10-7. 1947 Question, Why have you stopped communicating? Answer, No stop. Others. Hidden, covered. Secret fear. The alien cannot communicate with them because they were afraid of her, or do not trust her. And, it is clear to me that the alien is very aware that some people have secret intentions toward her and are hiding their real thoughts. It is equally obvious to me that the alien does not have even a tiny bit of fear of us, or anything else, for that matter. Matilda O'Donnell McElroy. Personal note, I pondered the words I chose to convey the meaning of the alien's thoughts very carefully before reporting to the stenographer and the people who were waiting anxiously in the other room. Personally, I never suffered any fear or misapprehension about the alien whatsoever. I was very, very curious and excited to learn anything and everything I could about her and from her. However, like the alien, I did not have much trust or confidence in the agents or authorities who were controlling my interviews. I had no idea what their intentions toward her might be. However, I am sure that the military officers were very, very nervous about having an alien spacecraft and pilot on their hands. 37 At that moment, my greatest worry was how to more clearly understand the thoughts and ideas of the alien. I think that I was doing pretty well as a telepathic receiver, but not as good as telepathic sender. I wanted desperately to figure out a better way to communicate with the alien in a way that would enable the growing legion of government officials to understand her more directly, without having to rely on my interpretation of her thoughts. I did not feel very well qualified to act as an interpreter, yet I was the only person with whom the alien would communicate, so it was up to me to get the job done. I was also becoming acutely aware that this was probably the biggest news event in the history of Earth, and that I should be proud to have any part in it. Of course, by that time the entire incident had been officially denied in the press and a cover-up of immense proportions by the military and the powers that be. 34, footnote, had already begun. However, I was beginning to feel the pressure of the responsibility for being the first person on Earth, as far as I knew, to communicate with an extraterrestrial life form. I think I know how Columbus. 35, footnote, must have felt when he discovered a new world the size of a continent on one small planet. But, I was about to discover an entirely new, unexplored universe. 36, footnote, while I waited for my next instructions from my superiors I went to my quarters, under escort of several heavily armed MPs. Several other men dressed in black suits and ties accompanied me also. They were still there when I got up in the morning. After breakfast, which was brought to me in my own quarters, they escorted me back to the office at the base that was used for the interview.